This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Welcome into Sunday Skate. I'm Scott McLaughlin with Andrew Razor Raycroft and Bridget Prue. A jet-lagged Jacob Lassner behind the glass. He's telling us how he just got back from a West Coast spring break. So.
Oh, to be young.
But, guys...
Feels like 4 in the morning, Scott.
Yeah, add in daylight savings.
What day
please
is
don't
it?
Complain.
What day
please
is
don't
it?
Complain. Feels like 4 a.m. and I didn't get to go to the West Coast, buddy boy. Spring break.
Come back with a tan.
Get up and get kids a hockey rink already today.
Also, didn't get to go to the West Coast is Brad Marchand.
He got
sent to Florida. Lot to break down this week, guys. Obviously, the Bruins.
What are you talking about?
Pretty much blew it up on Friday.
Yeah,
pretty much blew it up. Brad Marchand out. Brandon Carlo out. Charlie Coyle out. Justin Brazzo and Trent Frederick out.
Mark McLaughlin.
Lots of, yeah, Mark McLaughlin out. Tough blow for Billerica. I saw Billerica also had a rough night at the Celtics game last night because they did a thing on the Jumbotron where Celtics players were trying to pronounce towns in Massachusetts, and like they all got Billerica wrong. Just... bad day. We're under attack. But anyways, that's not why we're here. So, guys, we got to start with Marchand. We're going to get into Saturday's game, which, after all that, one of the better efforts we've seen from the Bruins in a while, in a 4-0 win over Tampa, who had been the hottest team in the NHL coming in, had not been shut out in Tampa all season. So we will touch on that. We're definitely going to get to the new guys, but... we have to start with Marchand because this, we knew there was going to be some follow-ups here of what exactly happened. How did this break down to the point where they actually ended up trading Brad Marchand and traded him to the Florida Panthers, like your biggest rival the last couple of years, the team that ended your last two seasons. And we got some insight on this from a couple of reports yesterday. First from ESPN's Emily Kaplan, who was the first... I saw to report that the Bruins did actually make an offer of 3 years at some point. All along we had heard term was the sticking point. Bruins wanted shorter term. Marchand wanted longer. She reports that there was actually a 3-year offer on the table. Well, then we get some information from Elliot Friedman on Hockey Night in Canada last night about why that maybe still wasn't enough. So I just want to start here with his report in full, and then we can react to it. We can get to the phones. 617-779-7937. Call, text, but let's hear Friedman's report here.
Just a few more things I wanted to go over from the Marchand situation. Number one, I think the Bruins and the player had agreed on term, 3 years. But as Don Sweeney said yesterday, there was a gap, and there was a gap on AAV. And I don't think he was being asked to take a pay cut or anything like that, but I do think it was a sizable gap that they obviously could not bridge. Where I think this really went sideways was there was a point this week where Brad Marchand, who was currently injured and not in the lineup, asked for a face-to-face meeting with Bruins management. I don't know exactly when it was. I don't know exactly who was there, but it did happen. And in that meeting, Brad Marchand asked for a compromise. He said, I will compromise. I will bend on some of my ask. I'm asking the Bruins to bend on some of their stance, and we'll find a way to get this deal done, because he wanted to stay as a Bruin. And it just didn't happen. The Bruins had gone as far as they were willing to go. And look, anybody out here watching hockey in the hockey world has watched Brad Marchand play. We know he's going to the Hall of Fame for one major reason. He's got an incredible amount of pride, and he puts everything on the line. I think he was really stung by that. And then all of a sudden, the Bruins started to look, okay, we're not going to go any farther. We're going to start looking out there. And I think one of the things that really happened in the last 24 to 48 hours before the deadline was that Marchand's agent, I was told by several teams, Wade Arnott, made it very clear that Marchand had a place he wanted to go. And obviously that was Florida. And in the last minutes, the Bruins acquiesced and made the deal. But so that's everything I understand there. And I think it really hurt Marchand that the face-to-face meeting couldn't get a deal done.
A lot there. So, there's a whole lot there.
So that ends up with the trade.
Show there.
That ends up with the trade where the Bruins get a conditional second-round pick in return for Brad Marchand. It can turn into a first if the Panthers win two rounds and Marchand plays at least,
which is a lot to ask,
50% of the games.
I know that they're the reigning champs, but like, to win two rounds in the Stanley Cup playoffs, even if you have a great team, you never know what you're going to run into.
Especially in a loaded division.
Yeah, that's a big question mark.
And it's 2028, literally 3 years from now. Hopefully we're alive in 3 years.
Razor, that was morbid.
Well, no, the reality, like,
we could get wiped out by an asteroid at any point.
Well, yes,
I'm
of course.
I'm planning on being here.
It wasn't even to be morbid. It's just to, like, imagine what the world's going to look like in 3 years from now. That's all. It's just, it's not relevant, I suppose, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, and it's tough. It's already a tough sell to a lot of fans who obviously love Brad Marchand. But then you add in, like, you don't even get to... Now, look, they could trade the pick. It could be used on something else. But if you keep it, you don't even get to see the return of what you got for your captain. You don't even get to make the pick for 2 to 3 years. And then however long that player takes to develop.
The kid's 14, who they're going to draft right now. The kid is 14. Wherever he is in the world, he's 14 years old. So, yes, to your point, you're not going to see him for a really long time.
Could it be one of the Raycrofts?
No, he couldn't be. Oh, please. I don't want to be involved in that.
He's like, I hope not.
Yeah, exactly.
Trying to ship him out to Toronto or something.
No, be a doctor, dude. Don't do this.
All right, so this report. So, Bridget, you're right. There are a lot of ways we can go on this, but let's start here. Like, because we had heard there's a gap, and I got to be honest, like, I'm okay with setting a limit on where you're willing to go with a 36-year-old player, even one as legendary as Brad Marchand. Now, what we don't know and what still makes this kind of hard to react to is, like, what were the actual numbers? Like, if I knew the actual numbers, I could give you, you know, a clearer take on, like, would it have been worth it to extend for this? Because, Bridget, when we were doing a skate podcast this past week, the number I threw out at you and Brian and said, like, this feels like kind of the point of demarcation to me where I really get cloudy, was 3 years, $6 million a year. So if it was 3 years and less than that per year, I'm doing it. If it's 2 years, $6 million, I'm in. If the AAV is over $6 million, that's where I start to go, you know what? I love Brad Marchand, but I would be okay with making the deal. It really just ended up like a perfect storm of bad things building into this, where Marchand is obviously loved. You end up trading him to the team that Bruins fans hate the most right now. And you didn't get enough in return because he's injured. And by Sweeney's own admission, that complicated trade talks. So, yeah, I get it. I get why fans are upset. I get why there had been some goodwill that Sweeney had built up in other trades where everyone was like, wow, that's a really good return. Good return for Coyle. Good return for Carlo. Got two picks and a prospect for Frederick. Got three assets for Justin Brazeau. Like, it's win after win after win. And then you see the Marchand one, and it's like, it almost feels like that ruined, like, all the other goodwill from this sell-off. And now you're getting these reports, and I think it's making Don Sweeney look kind of worse and worse in fans' eyes because, you know, we don't know, like, what the breaking point was. And I think fans are like, you couldn't just extend to keep Brad Marchand?
There was so much going on, and I was working my other job, and I'm trying to prepare for my broadcast on Nesson, and I'm trying to like keep my head straight and on straight, and I'm seeing all this stuff come in. Like, I'm driving and I'm getting phone calls from people like, oh, they traded Carlo now, and I'm trying to look at what they got in return, and it's like the room was spinning, and I was like, I don't even know what's happening, and I didn't even believe some of it because I was just too busy with the other stuff. I'm like, there's no way that's true. Carlo to Toronto, like Marchand to Florida, this doesn't sound right. But
and it all happened in like an hour and a half.
Yes, the hour that I was driving to Lowell.
Well, no, the two big ones happened like within a couple minutes of each other too. The important one, because again, you know, we talked last week. Coyle made sense. Coyle made a lot of sense. He was going to give you a lot of value. You didn't really want to deal with whatever he played like next year. Lindholm and Coyle have seemed to have overlapped in a lot of ways in how they play, and you're not even playing Coyle at center ice, which is what he is. He really beneficial, and that's why Colorado got him. Great deal. Everything's going perfect for them, like perfect. And then it's Brad, and you know, we'll get to Carlo, I know, in the next hour, but it really comes down to Brad. And of course, you can't run a team based on what the fan base's reaction will be to these deals. Unfortunately, for fan base to hear that, that's, you know, you can't. Because the fan base can't know all the ins and outs, right? Everyone can't know all. We're finding out a lot about it.
Was it Bill Parcells, I think, who said, like, if you act like a fan, you'll end up a fan?
Yes, that's right. And that's not going to come from the organization because that gets them in big trouble. But that's the reality. Like, Don has to, you know, Don's got a couple bosses, and he's also got to run a team and a cap and a roster and et cetera. So, but, you know, again, I heard a lot, Brad was at the top of a lot of, you know, not a lot, but, you know, I would say three teams that I know, maybe four, and we're wondering, is he hurt? How hurt? What's, you know, et cetera. And I've taken those calls, and, but at the end of all of those calls, well, he's going to be too expensive anyways. We're not going to be able to give up what we think.
That's what we all thought.
That
felt more like the Taylor Hall situation where, like,
well, okay, so you hear this from Elliot today and that or last night, and you're like, okay, that kind of ties into that, where if all of what Elliot says is true, he's pretty good at this, that means, okay, we're not signing you, but we will do you a solid at the end and send you where you want. Some of those teams that Brad had on his no movement were the ones that were really excited to get him, and he could block that. But I'm pretty sure one or two weren't on that list. So they ended up doing him a quote-unquote solid to send him to the team that he wanted to go, which, like Elliot says, was the Florida Panthers, in lieu of not giving him a three-year deal that they felt was too much. And that's... That is, you know, if it was $12 million, of course you can't do that business, right? Like, we don't know what Brad's going to get this summer or what kind of a deal he expected to get or what was you know, what, where he's going to go or what he's going to do in the summer. If it was 3 years, $12 million, you can't do it. If it was 3 years, $7 million, or 3 years, $8 million, 3 years, $8.5 million, then you might be more sentimental about it. But to your point, you might not, that might not look good in 2027, 28. Even if the cap is 113. So again, we got a clear picture from Elliot, I think, last night. Like, I think that he did a great job kind of giving all of us an idea of like where this kind of all came from and how it came so late and why it came so late and why it was Florida. But we don't still know why the deal didn't get done.
Yeah. And he said the interesting thing that I thought he said, which I talked to you about before we got on the air, was that it wasn't a pay decrease. They weren't lowballing him was part of what Elliot was saying.
Correct. And I think that seems to have been said in a way to refute some of the other stories that were out there that claimed that the Bruins only offered a small amount of dollars.
There had been reports that they'd only offered $3 million a year. Someone even at one point threw out like $2 million. And it's like, there's no way. Like, it might have been, maybe there's a structure where like there's bonuses involved or something, but like that always seemed, I'm like, they're not coming in at $3 million a year. So.
Yeah, and again, so Elliot did, you know, this is his job, and he worked that into the statement on purpose to make sure everybody knew that both sides were still dealing in somewhat of a fair way, not completely, you know, here's your 3 year, $1 million contract.
All right. Off and running here on Sunday Skate. We are at a first break. I already see some calls. You can give us a call, 617-779-7937. Text us the same number, 617-779-7937. Jacob has you trending, and we will be right back after.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
After that,
I want to know, Razor, that was on what?
It was, yeah.
That was Razor, Patrice Bergeron, and Tuukka Rask actually reacting to the goal that ended Thursday night's game, but that might as well have spoke for Bruins fans watching the trade deadline on Friday. I think there was a lot of that going on. All right, so we were talking Marchand, and we have a couple calls up, so let's get right to it. Let's start with Maria in Watertown. Good morning, Maria.
Good morning. I guess it's a good morning. You know, I don't understand how ownership groups in this city of Boston work, letting franchise-altering players walk out the door for nothing. I understand negotiations can be difficult and precarious, but for me, I can't imagine that Brad Marchand was asking for break the bank money. And in my view, even if it was 6 or 7, they should have given it to him. Is Charlie McAvoy living up to his contract right now? In my mind, no. And he's making a hell of a lot more money than this guy is. I don't like the way this management group handles contract negotiations with players. This is not the first time that there has been some suspicious behavior on the part of Cam Neely and Don Sweeney, and now I'm going to throw Charlie Jacobs into that bucket as well. No matter which way you slice it and dice this was a deplorable return on this player. And good luck getting other proven NHL talent to come to your franchise now after the way that Brad Marchand left this organization.
All right. Thanks, Maria. So, yeah, Maria upset. Maybe a little bit of a different take here from Phil in New Hampshire. What's going on, Phil?
Hello. Good morning. Yeah, I'm kind of on the opposite side of the spectrum. I think there's a very good chance Brad walks back through the door, but that's a different thing. I I like the trade deadline. I think we got a lot of assets that I don't think we're capable of drafting. I think we're set up to have a really nice offseason. It's just a matter of can we trust Sweeney to identify elite talent that'll work with our team and identify the proper coach to hire. I think he's great at hiring, but I think after he hires the guy, he builds teams that don't work with the guy's system anymore. So I really, really have high hopes for the season. And, God, I want Bergeron involved in this team somehow because I think Bergeron is the key that unlocks Lindholm. I think Chara will help Zadorov. I think that next season is really hopeful, but I want Bergeron to walk through that door, and I sure would like Marchand back. That's it.
All right, thanks, Phil.
So, what about Razor?
That's rational. That's a rational call, right? Like, because, again, they did do what I think most people wanted to. I think they did what they needed to. They had to do when people were looking and evaluating and fine-tooth combing this team is they needed to get younger, quicker, more talented, and start building the pipeline again. And they did all of that. It's just, of course, when the Hall of Famer gets dealt. And I'm assuming too. I think a lot of it has to do with the what you got back for Brad too. I really do think if it had been this year's first round pick or a top prospect, or I think it would be, people wouldn't be quite as sentimental. Like I think there is still a little bit of like why a second, you know. Like I think that's still embedded in here. But rationally, take away. The sentimental value to Brad, they did get what they would hope to do and what they needed to organizationally.
Yeah, and you know, like unfortunately the injury timing just really screwed all this up, because if Marchand's healthy right now, you definitely get more than that. Like even if the list of teams where he wants to go is small, you can get more if he's walking in and playing day one. Because he's week to week, and Sweeney said they were on the Bruins side, they were anticipating him to miss another 3 to 4 weeks. We'll see what Florida hasn't even gotten him in to evaluate yet, so we'll see what they end up thinking. Like, that does change it. That does make it more challenging to get, you know, a quote unquote fair return, because there's no guarantee that he plays before the end of the regular season. There's no guarantee he's 100%, even if he does. It sounds like it was a shoulder injury. I know people, you know, originally speculated maybe concussion. Shoulder's a little, like, concussion is bad, but, like, you come back from that, and physically there's nothing holding you back once you're cleared to go. Shoulder, like, that might linger. So that complicates it. And then Marchand wanted to stay on the East Coast, which is something that Emily Kaplan touched on in her report during the ABC broadcast yesterday. You know, was that basically for family reasons he didn't want to stay east. So that's where the people saying that Sweeney just played hardball and like did Marchand dirty, it's like, not really. Like, there was still at the end a give and take where they worked with him on destination. Because Marchand only had an 8-team no trade list. 8. If there was a team not on the list that had a better offer, in theory, Sweeney could have just taken it, whether Marchand wanted to go there or not. He didn't. Like, they did do him a solid in that respect. So it's not like they just completely turned their back on Marchand and, like, screwed him over behind his back or anything. Like, there was still some working together being done there.
He hasn't spoken yet, has he?
Marchand, no.
So I'd be really interested if this was like a Zoom call to just hop on and like, I feel like there should be plenty of Boston media that want to be involved in this press conference when it does eventually happen with Florida. Because who knows what their reporters are going to ask completely different things probably than what people up here would, because
they're two reporters.
They're two reporters. Yes. That all two of them that we met the last 2 years in the playoffs, that when they came to Boston and Florida won. So yeah, I think that also the fact that it is Florida is another big reason why it's emotional for some fans because they still have the sting from Florida and what they've been able to do to Boston the last 2 years. And seeing them as, like, you know, the enemy, the team that you were trying to retool, rebuild, or whatever. What you were trying to do last offseason was get tougher, build a team that can beat Florida, and then you just traded your captain to that team that year that you were kind of trying to build yourself up to beat.
So another part of Maria's call I wanted to touch on is this idea of how they've handled veterans at the end. I guess I don't think this is as big of an issue as some fans clearly do. Like, the other obvious one that I think is being referenced, you know, Maria didn't name him, but Zdeno Chara, they let go and allowed him to finish his career elsewhere. And the reports at that time were that basically what they did offer him a deal, but it came with no guarantees of everyday playing time. Like, he might be in and out of the lineup type of thing. And Chara wanted, you know, more certainty, so he went elsewhere. I guess I just don't have an issue with it. Like, you can't, if you get too sentimental and just allow guys to finish out their careers on your team on their terms, you can end up in a tough spot. And I don't necessarily know that that's how this would have gone with Marchand if you give him 3 years, six and a half, $7 million a year, whatever it would have ended up being. Like, maybe he would have been really good that whole time. And you get to the end and you're like, oh, we didn't regret that at all. You know, it turns out Marchand was still really good at 39 years old. But I don't have an issue with, like, drawing a line in the sand and saying, yes, even with a legend, there's only so far we're going to go. And we know at some point we have to turn over this leaf. We have to turn the page and maybe getting out ahead of that. Like, I don't. Now, you wish you had gotten more in return. Absolutely. We went through why that was complicated. But the idea in general that, like, you have to try to let these guys finish their careers here if they want to, it is a business, and I just don't think that's how you operate on a business level.
No, and like, Big Z's back. He's in the mix. He's around. He still loves the Bruins and will go in the Hall of Fame as a Bruin. Like, guys, get over it is what I'm saying. Like, this, they do. We all do get over it. You know, I'm sure you're not happy at the time, and you're more than there's lots of words that get said, but over a few years you get over it and realize it's a business. The one side of this, and I don't know if we'll get to this probably in the summer, but he's clipping 3/4 of a point per game, and he had 3 surgeries this year. Like, he played on and was part in a lesser role, but still very big part of a Team Canada, which is incredibly hard to make. I can't, like, you have to be, you're one of the top 20 players in the world to get on that team. Like, it's a big deal. He's going to be on the Olympic team next year. So when you talk about a guy, like, how are you filling his production on the ice? Yeah. Like, where is that coming from? That's the other part of this that doesn't really matter right now. And it's going to probably come more in the summer, but that's the other question, is what's the plan for your left wing now that he's not there? Because again, he's your second most productive offensive player, and it's not even close on this team, in his ability to still create at times on his own and make other teams' players better. And again, this is coming off of 3 surgeries in the summer where he had such a slow start, but he was starting to get going until this last injury here. And the hockey part of it, to your point of Zdeno, wasn't the same as this, and that's where you go to, what are you doing to fill that spot on the left wing? You just lost Jake DeBrusk. We saw how the winging, they need a lot of wingers. They need a lot of wingers going forward.
Yeah, the question is, there's two big ones. What's the plan for the second line? Because your second line as of yesterday against Tampa Bay was Koepke, Mittelstadt, Lettieri. So that's clearly not the second line of the future.
They cooked yesterday.
They did cook. I don't know if Cole Koepke and Vinny Lettieri, who's played a majority of the season in Providence, are the ideal partners line there. So what's the plan for the second line? Because you're trying to build out a legitimate top 6 forward group that can compete. if you're trying to get right back to it. And how are you filling the leadership void? Because Marchand, Coyle, and Carlo were all voices in the room. And I know some people probably don't see it, but as three of us are in the room sometimes after the games, and we hear the way that these guys speak and we see them interact with other players, Coyle and Carlo didn't wear letters. They weren't given letters for this team until recently because the injuries. But that's leadership that has left as well. And Marchand, the obvious one. So, is the leadership going to be something that grows from within? Maybe. But it also feels like there might be a need to bring in some sort of veteran to help supplement some of the leadership. Because Pasternak could do it somewhat, but he's still going to have to grow into that too. So that's another big question to me.
And just, again, I've got the free agent list for next season up right now, and it just stood out to me because I hadn't thought about it, but Brock Nelson, Sam Bennett, Kyle Palmieri, Nikolai Ehlers, Mitch Marner all have the same or less goals than Brad Marchand does this year, which... Yeah. Probably if you name those names, you wouldn't expect Brad to be in that mix with the way his slow start was. But he's still very effective out there.
There's no question. You have a lot of holes to fill on and off the ice.
Yeah,
That is absolutely part of this. And when, we'll probably play the cut coming up. I don't want to play it right now. But Don Sweeney said, we didn't burn it down and they want to be in a competitive mindset very next year. And it's like, okay, but there's a lot of work to do to do that, to accomplish that. You're right. This team was already at least one bona fide top six forward short. At least one, maybe two. Now you're definitely at least two, maybe three short.
Yep.
So that's a lot. If you think you're going to be back at it next year, it is hard to add that in the offseason. Because even if you have the money to spend... And by the way, $29 million in cap space, we saw this past year, that dwindles quickly. Ends up not being, that doesn't mean we're going to go sign three $9 million players. No, you got to fill out the rest of the roster. You got guys making $1 million down at the bottom. It adds up. You have your own guys. Morgan Geeky needs a new contract.
It's going to Target.
Mason Lorie needs a new contract. Yeah.
It adds up real quick.
Right. So you're maybe in free agency, you're maybe talking about either one guy at the very top of the market or two from the second tier. You're not. So then what are you doing? Are you using some of these assets to make a trade? There's just a ton of work to do if they really want this to be a short-term retool, which is how Sweeney sold it on Friday evening when he met with the media after the deadline. I personally have a lot of skepticism about whether it's going to be a one-year turnaround. I think that's wishful thinking. To me, and honestly, I'm not sure I would even try to force it in 1 year because that's how you end up throwing money around and signing contracts that you regret. You can't have another offseason like this past one where you spend all this money on Elias Lindholm and Nikita Zadorov and they don't fit and they don't do what you were hoping they did. Now, maybe those guys are going to be better going forward. They have to be. The Bruins absolutely need them to be. And I think Zadorov has actually played a little better recently, so I'll give him some credit there. But, you go out and you spend that kind of money again, just willy-nilly on July 1st, what if you end up with two more bad contracts? And, now you got four of them on your books. It can go sideways really quickly if you just, throw money at the wrong places here.
No question. And it's really well said, and then just to add another wrinkle to that, every other team has $30, $40, $50 million to spend too. So you're just
cap went up for everyone.
That's right. You can't outbid everybody. It's wishful thinking, as you said. So no, there's and again, that's part of this piece for me of the Brad Marchand piece beyond the sentimental and everything else is that he provides a great service in your lineup. And is a great bridge. Yes, he might not be a 100-point, 102-point guy anymore, but he's still able to make players better that he plays with and has has a way of driving your lineup even as a left winger still. So it's going to be difficult to find left wingers to do that same thing.
All right, we do have to get another break here. We have some phone calls to get to. We'll do that after the break. If you want to jump in, 617-779-7937. We will be back with more Sunday Skate. All right, welcome back to Sunday Skate. I'm Scott McLaughlin with Andrew Razor Raycroft and Bridget Brew. Let's get right to the phones here, and let's start with Sean in Lowell. Sean, what's up?
Steve, Bridget, Razor, how's it going this morning?
Scott,
Steve.
But that's okay.
Oh, yeah. Scott, whatever.
I'm calling you Steve from now on.
It's actually not the first time I've gotten mixed up these last few days. Well, I'll get to that. All right. What's on your mind, though?
I just wanted to call and talk about this Bruins culture that everyone's so mad about with Marchand leaving and so forth. I'm probably one of the few people who isn't heartbroken over Marcy leaving. Great player, great soldier for the last 15 years. But my biggest thought about the whole Bruins culture thing is, what culture are we talking about? The one that's consistently choked in the playoffs? The one that hasn't really won the cup besides 2011 when we had Tim Thomas on top of his head? Like, yeah, you know, that's a great culture, right? Not really. Not in my opinion. You know, Chara was here for 20 years and he won one cup. And whenever those guys talk about, they don't talk about, you know, not winning the ones that they should have won. And et cetera. But I think also with the new captaincy vacancy, I think it's a good thing. I kind of compare it to the Marcus Smart, Jason Tatum, and Jaylen Brown thing when, you know, I think, Scott, I think you said it yesterday on the skate pod the other day, is it's like big brother around, right? So I feel like as soon as Smart left, those two guys were able to flourish in their leadership roles. And I think, you know, Pastrnak has shown a lot this year. I think, you know, last year, if you asked me, a couple years ago, I probably would have said McAvoy is the next captain. But I think this past year, Pasta has shown a lot. And I think those two guys are going to flourish in the new role at some point, either this year or next year with whoever the new head coach is. And, you know, I think if you bring in another veteran like a Brock Lesnar or not Brock, and then a couple of those guys, then maybe give those guys the A and they can watch from that position. But I think, that's just my thoughts on the whole so-called Bruins culture thing.
All right. Thanks, Sean. So, yeah, I mean, look, you definitely hear some of this that, you know, what are you really clinging to? Well, it's a culture of being competitive every year, of being in it and having a chance. And yeah, we all acknowledge this era of Bruins hockey. You feel like they should have won more. Like, they left at least one, maybe two on the table. Absolutely. That's disappointing. There are a lot of worse ways these last 15 years could have gone. You could have the Buffalo Sabres culture or the Ottawa Senators culture. Like, you could have a culture where you're just never in it and there's no leadership and no one knows how to bring a team together, get a team to be in the playoffs just about every year. So I would just say, like, be careful what you wish for. So yes, you can be disappointed that there wasn't a second or even third cup at some point during this run. Obviously they were right there on the doorstep in 2019. The 2023 team sets all kinds of records and then loses in the first round. Like, I get it. It's very frustrating. But you had those chances year after year. You were in it. There was a stretch of, I think, 5 years in a row where they at least got out of the first round. There's not a lot of teams you can say that about. So, like, yeah, if you want to say, okay, you weren't the Blackhawks dynasty or the Lightning winning back-to-back cups or the LA Kings winning two, like, but even, you know, those teams, like, they all had to go down at some point. Chicago's been stuck near the bottom of the league now for 7 years. So, yeah, like, there's a flip side to this coin that's really ugly that has you longing for, you know, the Bergeron-Chara days.
That's right. And listen, culture changes, right? It's not the same league as it was in 2011. It's not even close. So the way you lead, the way you have culture, it changes over time. But it's important. It's vitally important in all of pro sports, but especially hockey. It is, and it doesn't magically appear. It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of responsibility. It takes a lot of dedication for the players to build that themselves. And of course, there's ways to do it a little bit differently than what it has been done in the past here. But please, you shouldn't be flippant about it. And you know, like you just said, and the way you put it is, you shouldn't be, as a fan, say, I don't think it really matters. They never really want, like, well, no, you need to be careful in that respect. And the team and the people around it need to be ultra laser focused on finding a way to continue that.
Yeah, and look, maybe part of the issue is this season is that it did slip a bit. Like, we saw this team be unable to respond in situations where normally we see them respond. Maybe they just didn't have enough talent, but maybe some of that drive slipped somewhere along the way where this team couldn't string the 60-minute performances together. When they lost two in a row, there were times this year they let it pile up to 3, 4, 5. Even they had a 6-game losing streak in there. Like, that was different. That was something different than in the past. And, you know, where Sean is right is, yeah, like that Celtics comparison, I don't know if it's apples to apples, but yeah, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown kind of had to be pushed into a bigger role and pushed into leadership. And that is going to happen here with David Pastrnak and Charlie McAvoy. Like, whether they're 100% ready or not, whether they wanted that now or not, like, that's what's happening very clearly. Like, there's no one else to turn to.
Yeah, and what happened to Jim Montgomery, right? Like, I know this was a while ago, but, like, the Bruins were not able to, earlier in the season, stop those losses from piling up and stop the bleeding at different times. And then, you know, that gets Montgomery fired.
Even within games, like, how many games did they just let get completely away from them?
Yeah, and Montgomery gets fired because it's looked at as, oh, you know, the coach should be able to get some sort of message through and get back on track. And then after the coaching change, they did start playing better, but then they went right back to it recently. And obviously the injuries are a big factor too. Like, you lose Lindholm, you lose McAvoy. So that's very recently the McAvoy one, but that doesn't help either. But it's been going on for the whole season, but you're not trying to, like, put that on Marchand, are you? Like, I didn't see him as the issue in any way.
No, I'm not putting it on Marchand at all, but it does maybe lend itself to the idea that, like, a season like this, maybe this isn't the worst time to turn the page and usher in that next era where it is now on Pastrnak and McAvoy. And I would also agree with Sean, our last caller, on, I do think we've seen Pastrnak take a step up in terms of maturity and leadership. Like, I've been impressed with him throughout this season. Now, we really only get to see what he gives us when he talks to the media, right? Like, we're not in there during intermissions or before games or on you know, as they're getting ready for practice. But, you know, the things you've heard from Pastrnak, and I think we'll play some of what he said after the game last night. In fact, we'll probably come back from the break with it because we do have to get to a break here. But I've liked what we've seen from Pastrnak on the ice, but also some of the things, like, we've been hearing from him. So we got to get to a break here, but hour two of Sunday Skate coming up. You can call in 617-779-7937. We'll be right back.